Watch and be on your guard against greed of any kind. And so Paul warns us, fornication, which is living together now, impurity everywhere, pornography, guilty passion, evil desires, and especially greed. Greed or avarice goes by the same name, is something infectious and contagious, especially in our materialistic age. There are two dimensions to greed. One is public and the other is personal. There's what we call public greed. Look at your bulletin. About 22,000 people die every day because of greed. They die of a lack of food and water. There's not a problem with enough food and water in the world. We can feed our 7 billion plus. The world's not overpopulated, but it is very greedy, very selfish, and very bent on making sure certain countries excel and others don't. Never fall into the myth of overpopulation and remind people, one of the most populated countries on earth, if not the most populated, is Holland. And Holland suffers for nothing. They have everything. One of the most affluent countries in the world. So having a limited space and lots of people doesn't make you poor or hungry. What does? Greed. Greed makes us hungry and poor. One half of the world, and we're talking here billions and billions of people, live on $2.50 a day. That's United States dollars. One quarter of the world do not have electricity. When they go home, they can't hit a switch to turn the lights on. They might have a gas burner or something else, but they don't have the luxury, the comforts we have. Where is all the money? If it's a matter of greed, who has it? Well, United States, China, UK, Germany, these are the listed countries in the world that have the most wealthy people. And just last year, a study was done, and they found that 0.7, not even 1%, of the world's population owned $113 trillion. That is 45% of the global wealth. So just make this very simple. Less than 1% of the world's population owns half of the wealth in the world. Just keep saying that to yourself. Less than 1% of the world's population has half the wealth of the world. I just can't get my head around that figure. It's not mine, I got it off the internet. Google, you'll find it for yourself. It's a tragedy that's becoming worse with every year. The rich are becoming richer and the poor poorer. Back in 1998 and 1999, St. John Paul begged the world powers to push the theme of forgiveness in the Jubilee year. He begged companies, bankers, politicians, wipe the debt of the third world. In the year 2000, wipe their debt so they can start fresh. He begged them. They refused. Who are we talking about? We're talking about people, individuals who own companies, not countries. We see every day the nonsensical political presidential campaign on TV. Who's going to win, Trump or Hillary? Who's going to win? At the end of the day, they won't change this global problem of greed because it's not a country, it's a company. There are certain companies that run the world. Go home and Google the International Monetary Fund, the IMF. We all owe them money. Every country on earth owes this company, a bank, money. We owe them. We can't even pay the interest on our loans. And the third world countries can't even pay their interest. Every year the amount becomes greater and greater and they're slowly being stifled and starved. On top of that, the IMF has a political agenda and they push what they want and if you don't comply, we cut your funding. They control the purse strings of the world and therefore of greed. Individuals, Not presidents, prime ministers, individuals. I still remember reading in the Financial Times when our previous prime minister was elected, John Howard, a member of the IMF came out and told him to institute the GST. They were told, the government was told to bring in the GST, and we did. Why did we do it? Because the International Monetary Fund told us to do it. Well, why should we obey them? Well, because we owe them, and we struggle to pay our interest. And we're a first world country. We're not a poor country, we're an affluent country. Can you imagine being in Asia or Africa? Half of the population of the world that can only have $2.50 a day, they've got no control over this. This is global greed at the worst. We've never seen a time in history where so many people are controlled by so few. Get back to the facts. Less than 1% of the population own half the wealth of the world. That's why there's poor people, and that's why so many are suffering. It all gets back to distribution and generosity. What's the profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Where would these bankers be in 100 years from now? I fear for their souls. We have to go from global greed down to our private or personal greed. Never make the mistake because someone is wealthy, they're greedy, or that rich people cannot enter heaven. That's a bit of a myth. There's some element of truth to it, but not altogether. It's not the accumulation of wealth that stifles the grace in the soul, but rather the unwillingness to give of that wealth. It's not the getting, but the lack of giving that causes avarice. A good example of that is Tom Moynihan. Tom Moynihan is an American entrepreneur. He was raised in the orphanage with his brother, became a Marine, and then in 1960 set up Domino Pizzas. Domino Pizza chains spread rapidly throughout the world. And then in the 90s, Tom, being a good Catholic, had a conversion and read a piece from one of my favourite books, which I hope is also yours. And I'm not talking about the Bible, which is everyone's favourite book. I'm talking about Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. There's sentences in that book that make you stop your life. He read a sentence all about pride, and it stopped him. He sold Domino Pizzas for just about $1 billion and started giving to worthy, charitable Catholic causes throughout the world. Google Tom Moynihan. Today is a daily communicant, goes to Mass every day, says the rosary every day, and is a very, very generous man. So it's not having the wealth, it's what you do with it that matters. We enter the world with nothing. Please God, we exit the world having given away everything, because when you die, you take nothing with you. On Friday, I was visiting a parishioner of ours who's now in a nursing home, who lived down the road. And whenever I go to take her Holy Communion, she's always sitting in the same position at the same time. But on this occasion, she had her head somewhat down and she was holding a photo. And after having said our prayers and before going, I said, "What's the photo of?" And she said, "Oh, the home." And I remember visiting her home. And I said, "What's happened?" She said, "Oh, it's sold. It's gone now, Father." I said, "Oh, how much did they sell it for?" "Oh, it doesn't matter." And I said, "I remember your husband, he painted part of the house, didn't he?" She said, "Yes, we all lived there, we raised the children there, and oh, we lived there for so many years, and it's now all gone." And I said, "It's not completely gone, is it?" She said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, you still have the memories in your heart. Aren't they more important than the bricks and mortar of the building?" She smiled and said, "Yes, I still have those memories. So it doesn't really matter about the house, does it?" "No, I suppose not. But just keep praying for your family. Keep praying that they might come back to their faith, but they might not lose the love of God within." She said, "Yes, Father, that's all that matters, doesn't it? That's all that matters." She's in her 90s. She's only got a few years left to go. How true that is. That's all that matters. Everything will be gone. We exit with nothing. Meanwhile, let's give away when we can and be generous unto others. We have to be practical in that regard, but think about those who need help. Not just financial help, but emotional help, psychological help. Be there for others. Let's be generous of our hearts. One person who was very generous and merited a great reward died on this day, the 31st of July, 460 years ago. His name was Ignatius of Loyola. And like Tom Moynihan, it was a book that changed his life. He was a soldier, a knight in the Spanish army, and while convalescing due to an accident in a battle at Pamplona, he read his way back to God. And then being inspired to give to God, eventually set up the Jesuit order, which changed the world. The Jesuits had such an impact in the 17th century. They set up universities, places of education. They were givers, not getters. And they left a mark on the church. Today, our present Pope is in Poland, and he is a Jesuit. We pray that he might give that example of generosity to our young people, that the legacy of Ignatius might live on through his words and be imparted to those millions gathered in Poland. Watch it on TV. If you haven't got EW10, try and tune into at least the SBS to see some snippets of our Holy Father with the church, the future of our families, and listen to his message. He does live poverty, our present Pope, and his message of giving, of not being jealous of others or envious, and fighting that temptation to be greedy, is something we need in our modern world, bent upon materialism. We pray that the spirit of Ignatius may pass through him and become infectious in the hearts of all young people, so that they too might be more generous than greedy, and therefore give like unto Christ. Praise be Jesus Christ.